What we do is, what Marty and I have done is we've combined bhakti and hatha yoga, basically. Bhakti yoga is devotional yoga. It's basically coming together what most people do on Sundays. You would call that bhakti yoga. Going to church would be considered bhakti yoga. It's devotional. It's worship. It's connecting. And that actually began, the practice of hatha yoga began as a way of stretching the body so you could sit for long periods of time in prayer and meditation. So hatha yoga actually arose out of bhakti yoga, which is what we're up to now. So this is my part. I do the Dharma talk. Dharma simply means purpose in Sanskrit. We're going to be talking about our purpose. But I got to tell you, it just thrilled me when people were coming up to me in yoga this week and going, I trained my puppy. Because I have been teaching and talking about meditation for decades, and I don't know of a lot of people who've actually done it. And the reason is, I explained last week, it's the hardest thing you'll ever do. Because getting yourself to sit still and just focus your mind on this, it's really like trying to get a puppy to do something. I was thinking about this idea of, I took my daughter to the circus one time, and it was like a shrine circus, so it wasn't the big Ringling Brothers, but they had a dog that went over a high wire like this, all 4 feet. He went over, there's two high wires, I beg your pardon, he went over them like this, and I thought, that is so cool. And I think we all want our minds to be able to walk the high wire, right? We want to create everything, because everything in your life is a result of your mind. Your relationships, your physical body, your spiritual connection. Your mind is the great gatekeeper. That's what we have. It's what tells you you're alive. And we've never learned to control it. We want to throw it up on the high wire and say, give me everything I want. And meanwhile, it's a puppy that we've never taught to sit or stay. It's up there going like this. And it just wants to jump off. I took my dog Jake to PetSmart yesterday to get him a new collar. He had chewed through the one he'd had for a while. So I took him in there, and the woman behind the counter was intent on putting his collar on him. And she just, which I thought was nice, but there was people waiting in line, but she's going to put my dog's collar on, not just throw it in a bag and give it to me. And I'm like, aren't you sweet? That's so nice. Da, 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 da. And she's going, sit, sit. It. And Jake, who's a black labradoodle, okay, is going everywhere like this. And then I went, sit. And his butt hit the floor like that. Why did I teach him to do that? To impress people? No, I did that so that when Jake and I are walking in the park and he's off a leash and a squirrel goes running across the road, I say, sit, and his butt hits the ground. The same is true with our minds. We get into things that are very challenging and very stressful and very threatening and very uncertain. They're called relationships. And we get in them, and we don't have our own minds in a place that we can be in a good space as the relationship is unfolding. You know, I think about this idea that our brains, you've seen pictures of a brain, right? It's divided into two hemispheres, right? The right and the left, where, you know, most of us know what the right and left do. But I want you to think about that you have two brains, like the right and the left, but in this case, you've got an animal brain and you've got a divine brain. Okay? Now, before we start going, I got to do something about that animal brain. Because as soon as we talk about the animal brain, spiritual people tend to think, I've got to overcome that. I want to tell you, that's what got you here. Your animal brain is what kept you alive, kept your ancestors alive, kept you survival, kept you alive and allowed you to survive. Your animal brain is all about survival. It's about me survive. What's important to me? How can I get it? To heck with everybody else. Me, 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 me. I'm going to build up stories about everybody else so that I'm superior to everybody else. Mine, mine, mine. Okay? That is the animal brain, and that's what got us here. We're evolving. The divine brain looks around and says, I'm one with everybody. More than one with everybody, I'm one with everything. I can't hurt you without hurting myself. If you're hurting me, it's because you yourself are hurting. I can forgive you as soon as I have compassion for the fact that something caused you to do whatever it was you did. Most of us have never trained our minds to look at things differently and to begin to see them from a divine standpoint. But once we do, we live in a divine world. Here's what I mean. I noticed something the other day. I was, believe it or not, a late adoptee to Facebook. I thought it was a fad, whatever. So I kind of ignored Facebook for a very, very long time. And then I got on Facebook and I noticed that it was pretty much people that I sort of knew who were telling me what they were eating while they were watching television. That's what Facebook was for. You know, I'm eating Cheerios and watching Battlestar Galactica. I'm like, oh, this, I had to stop what I was doing to know that. Thank you. So I was very cynical about Facebook. And then anybody who sent me a friend request, sure, I'll be your friend. Sure, I'll be your friend. And with my books and everything, I'm getting friend requests from everywhere. Thousands of friends. I had thousands of friends on Facebook. Most of them who weren't my friends. So one day, Marty and I went on vacation. And we went on a killing spree. We killed off friends on Facebook. We both went there and just went, I don't know this. How did this, I don't know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And we did this and we narrowed it down. And now what I've discovered is that when I get on Facebook, it's people sharing how great the world is. And here's a funny little smile. And isn't this wonderful? And here's, somebody put this on the other day and I'm watching this like it was a fish that flopped on the water and a dog was trying to push water on the fish. It was so compassionate and so sweet and so beautiful. And people are posting things about people triumphing over life and how great things are. And I look and I go, Facebook is the most wonderful, positive place in the world. Then I look at another person's Facebook page. And they've got a whole bunch of different friends who see the world a completely different way. And they're talking about how everything is bad, everything is wrong, everything is negative. You know, life's a bitch and then you die. On and on and on and on and on. But see, I don't even live in that arena anymore. I've trained my Facebook to not bring me stuff like that, because I only associate with people who are going to bring me the stuff that makes sense. Now, that's not to judge the people who like that. All I'm saying is that if our lives are negative and everybody's out to get us and life's a bitch and then you die, we're right. I mean, that's what we're seeing. But if we want to change it, we can change it. We can begin to see it. But the person that's got to change it, it's like we're lost in the wilderness. Okay, and we're covered in snow, and we want to send one of those dogs with the cask out under its neck with brandy, right, to come and get us. Remember those from the old Bugs Bunny cartoons? And we're lost in the snow, and they send out this dog, but it's never been trained. It doesn't know how to find people. It doesn't know how to sit. It doesn't know how to stay. It doesn't know how to do anything. So, the good news and the bad news is the same news. If your life is great and wonderful, it's you. If your life is terrible, it's you. But the thing is, it's all in how you're using your puppy. So we're going to meditate a little bit more today, just like we did last week. We're going to do it twice. What I want to do, though, is this morning, we're going to talk through, just to remind you, we're going to not only identify thoughts, we're going to label them. First, we're going to just identify thoughts. And this is what I mean. I'm going to talk you through this. I'm going to lean forward, talk you through it, and then we're going to actually do it. So don't do anything. Listen, just listen. I moved, y'all don't. Here we go. When you sit to do this, you want to sit straight, because this is as much a pose. If you start doing this with your body, your mind will do this. You want to sit as straight, as stiff as possible, not stiff, but comfortable and straight. You want to sit up and hold your body up. The other thing you want to do is you want to focus on your breathing. Typically, the exhalation, I say just the exhalation because if you try and focus on an entire inhalation and an exhalation, you'll find out just how poorly trained your puppy is. One full breath in and one full breath out, and all you focus on is that breath, if you're just starting, can be a real challenge. So what we do is we focus on this so that when we're in one of those challenging situations and a squirrel is about to run across the street, metaphorically in our relationship, we can tell our mind, sit, shut up, don't say anything, peace, be still. So we sit, we focus on our breathing, and every thought that comes through, and there will be a lot of them, you just go thought, thought, thought. You've got to first notice that you have thoughts, not that you are thoughts. And with your eyes closed, you focus on your third eye, this space right here, okay? So we're just going to say thought, thought. Just notice them. I don't want you sitting there going thought, 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 thought. Notice what thoughts come in. It can be, this is stupid. Oh, I'm sweaty. What's going on? What's for lunch? Just notice the thoughts, okay? So everybody, sit comfortably. I usually start out half lotus. I say start out because I don't often end that way when I meditate for a long period of time. Sit up straight. If you would, place your hands palm up. Touch your index finger and your thumb. This is a mudra. It symbolizes your unity with the entire universe. With your eyes closed, focus on that space between your eyes. Just notice how your body feels. Meditation is about training the mind to sit and stay. Guided visualization is about taking the mind for a walk. We're working on sit and stay. So, focusing on that spot. I want you for just a moment only to focus on your breathing, on the exhalation. Deep breaths in, deep breaths out. Just notice your exhalations, and when thoughts come in, simply go, oh, there's a thought. There's a thought. There's a thought. So let's do this for about a minute. Deep breath in and ah, out. Ah. Open your eyes. Now that's the beginning technique, which can take you a long time to really, really master. What I've noticed from talking to other meditators, and I've noticed the same thing myself, if you do it long enough and if you hold that space long enough where you're able, you find that if you say thought, 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 the thoughts are almost kind of scared to come in. And during that time, you reach a point where you start, many people see lights. I see a lot of lights. I see what looks like a large circle of lights, like I'm forever going through it, almost like a tunnel. It's just beautiful. But the great thing about it is, you don't get up and go, wow, I'm totally enlightened. As somebody told me, I forget where it was, I was down south speaking, and some woman came up to me and said, my third eye done open up. It's not like that. she really did. She said, my third eye done open up. Well, that's great. Yeah, isn't that cool? No, what tends to happen is it's little by little by little. It's like coming to a yoga class. You don't all of a sudden be able to just tie your shoes without groaning if you have been up till that point. But you'll notice you get these little glimpses in these little spaces where normally you would have reacted or gotten angry or upset, and you find yourself starting to create those little spaces. I have a friend that I have has been my prayer partner for 7 years, and he and I meet every Thursday. And we were talking. He said, "Man, you just seem so peaceful lately." And I said, "You know, I have been meditating daily. I haven't missed for months." And he said, "I think it might have something to do with it. Because about, I got busy." That's the thing. Even when you know the benefits of it, it's like meditation you can do anytime. That's the problem with it. You can do it anytime. So you're like, "Well, I'll do it at a stoplight." You know, no. You need your space. You need to do this. And so I got busy and I didn't do it. And then he said, "You quit meditating, didn't you?" So he could tell. We're going to take it and do one more meditation. Let me tell you about this. This is the one that I actually love to do. We're going to go one step further than identifying thoughts. We're going to label your thoughts. Okay? I'll be very candid. I found that my thoughts over the year fall into certain categories. Number one is to-do thoughts. When I'm meditating, my mind goes, "You need to do this, and you need to remember to do that, and should do this, and do that, and do this, do. And it's just the ego going, "Something is more important. Stop meditating. You're threatening me. I'm freaking out. Stop that." So it'll go, do. And if that doesn't work, then it will either start to tell me how great I am, or it will tell me how terrible I am. Self-aggrandizing thoughts and self-attack thoughts. So I get those. And then the fourth one that is for me, because of what I do as a writer and a speaker and a teacher, is teaching thoughts. I'll be sitting there and the ego's like, "Okay, I can't tempt you away. I can't threaten you away. I can't compliment you away. Let's give you some really great ideas that you want to run off and put to use right now. Anything to get you to stop." The interesting thing is, if you'll sit in meditation and you'll begin to label your thoughts, then when something happens during the day, you'll go, "Ooh, that was a self-aggrandizing thought I just had. Ooh, that was a self-limiting thought. Ooh, that was a negative." You see what I mean? You begin to label your thoughts throughout the day. So now, let's take a look at your thoughts. Sit straight up again one more time. We're going to do this for just one more moment. Hands in the form of the mudra. Focus on your breathing. And now you pick the labels. When a thought comes in, how would you label that thought? Irritating thought, happy thought, whatever thought. What kind of thought is it for you? Let's spend a moment labeling these fish as they swim by our screen. Take one more deep breath. Exhale out. So this week I'll give you the same assignment. Train your puppy every day. Spend 10 or 15 minutes training your puppy. One of my favorite quotes from Gandhi, he said that as a young man he used to say, "I'm so busy, I don't have time to meditate." He said as he got older, he learned that it was smarter to say, "I'm so busy, I better make time to meditate." We can meditate, or we can meditate. If we go within, we'll never go without. Train your puppy. Close your eyes and let's pray. Infinite Spirit, we give thanks for the demonstration from all the great spiritual masters in the past who have had one and only one thing in common. They have all gone off by themselves, spent time in quiet meditation. A spiritual master is one who has learned to master their spirit. Thank you, God, that this is available for all of us. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I hope you find this to be a blessing in your life. If you do, be sure and podcast these broadcasts. That is, set your device, your phone, your iPad, your computer to automatically receive these. You can do it through iTunes or you can do it through podbean.com. Go to willbowen.podbean.com and subscribe. Have a great week. I look forward to talking to you real soon. You can connect with me at will@willbowen.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.